All right. God is so good, isn't he? Yes. Are we having a good time, church? Why can't we have a good time at church? I mean, it's good. I mean, God is good. Why not? You know, if church is boring, I'm sorry for you. If you think my preaching's boring, it's all right. I used to think the same thing when I was younger. When I was little, like this little one here, I used to sleep during my father's sermons and things like that. I was like, preaching's the most boring part in church. Well, look what he did. Isn't God funny? Man. And now I get to preach. Now my son falls asleep. So what do you know? It's all right. Oh, goodness. Oh, Jesus. So I just want to encourage you today. God's got some great things. Got some great things in store for us. Today I'm going to be talking about a few things. I'm going to be continuing on my message of transformation. How many of you want transformation in your lives? We should all want it, yes. To become more like him. We should all want that. Sorry. I got four of them. It's no biggie. I got four of them. They're all downstairs, you know. It's okay. I can have no problems with kids. Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness. Oh. Hold on a second. The Lord's speaking with me about what he wants to do. All right, Lord, what do you want? All right, we're going there then. All right. Well, what the Lord wanted me to talk about is, what is he doing in you? That's what he wants to talk about this morning. What is he doing in you? When life happens, when things happen, when we make decisions, or whether God is pruning us, or whether it's the fall of man and decisions that are being made, what is God doing in you and all of that? And that's tough, especially since Dory gave a word out this morning about letting God do the battle for us. It's tough to let God do the battle because we're like, we want to fix it ourselves. I mean, we got a bunch of type A personalities who are like, let's fix it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's just go through and boom, we're going to fix everything. Then you have the type B personality who's like, well, you know, we'll kind of handle it. We'll see how it comes. It'll all work out, you know. Some people are like that. Some people aren't. But I'm the type, I'm kind of in between. I want to fix things. If I think about it, let's fix it. But if I'm like, oh, well, I'll hold back. It's so tough to let God do things, isn't it, sometimes? Especially when we see things unfold, you're like, God, what are you going to do about this? And then something else happens. And you're like, oh, God, what are you going to do about this? And then three things happen. You're like, oh, goodness, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of big situations that are happening. And you're like, oh, God, what are we going to do? You know, then it gets overwhelming. And then something else gets put on us from that. And we're like, oh, now I'm just lost. I feel like I'm in a ship about to drown. But how many know that God is good? He won't give us more than we're able to handle. He won't. He won't. But he'll give us more than we can handle by ourselves, though. He'll give us more than we can handle by ourselves. That's why we have to have faith and trust in him. We have to trust in him. And when these things happen, you know, whether it's bad decisions on our part, bad decisions on other people's parts, whether it's God pruning us, and how many of you know God's pruning is always fun, isn't it? I'm being very facetious right there. And don't you enjoy God's pruning, you know? I mean, we should, as Paul says, count it all joy, but we don't. I mean, that's just sometimes how it is. That's just life sometimes. Maybe we need to get in a better mindset for that. Would be better for us. But and then God's pruning, and then life happens. Now, that's a whole other story. When situations happen and we have no rhyme or reason for, and we're like, God, what just happened? What is our response to that? What is he doing in us? And the example I like to use with that is if you have an orange. I have an imaginary orange right here in my hand. Imaginary orange. If I squeeze that orange, what should it produce? Orange juice. Orange juice. There you go. Hey, I like that. Good job, buddy. Orange juice. That's what it should produce. If I squeeze an orange and apple juice comes out, isn't that a little strange? Wouldn't that be a little funny? A little strange, wouldn't it be? then why is it that when pressure is applied to Christians, why do we squeeze out of what comes out of us is everything but Christ? Oh, it got quiet there. Oh, well, man, you're stepping on people's toes now. Now, that's not nice. But why is it that way? Why is it when we get in a situation or something happens or God allows something to happen, that when we get in those situations, when we get squeezed, that we don't produce Christ? That goodness and love fly out the window. It's all about bitterness and unforgiveness. Why is it that way? And I'll tell you why. It's because we've been trained to think about ourselves and it's all about me. That's why it is. That's why when we get squeezed, it's like we've been trained by a culture, by a whole society of it's about me, it's about my dream, and what can you do to help me reach my dream? That's what it's come down to. And so we're taught that from an early age, you know, two little kids in the nursery, mine, no, mine. I mean, isn't it true? When you were four, when you saw your sister or brother have something nice, mine. Come on, somebody. We're taught that. Amen. Ryan, I know you did that. I'm kidding. It's okay. I'm sure he did. I'll confirm with your parents later, but I'm sure he did. So, I mean, it's all about mine. It's all about what you can do for me. And then we get raised up teenagers. Oh, well, it's my car, Dad. You know, I bought it with my own money. Yet you still pay for the gas and you pay for the insurance and you pay for me to get there. But it's still mine. It's still my car because I paid for it. Even though you gave me the money to buy it, it's still mine, you know? Or my favorite one, going to McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or somewhere and you buy them a Happy Meal. You buy them, you know, my kids, I got four of my, I give them all, here's some food for you guys. And they're like, can Daddy have a fry? No, mine. I'm like, I just bunch you the whole thing. What makes you think it's yours? You know what, I'm about ready to get a bunch of fries and bury you in them. That's how much I want to buy, you know? Feel like that sometimes, don't you? Oh, man, those good old days. They're still happening. They're still happening. But we're taught by society and culture that it's all about me. But then the worst part about this my selfish way, my way of doing things, is that we get that in the church. And we get that in our Christian lives. And that's when it becomes a shipwreck to our faith. Because then we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. Yes, so I can get to go to heaven and that's it. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I thought I get to go. Yes, you get to go to heaven. Yes, true. But I don't ask Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior for my benefit. That's what we've been believing all along sometimes. And that's sometimes we have the fear of hell and we have the, depends on how the gospel message was given to you. Like, well, I don't want to go to hell or any of those places like that. I want to go to heaven and have a great time with every one of my saints and friends and things like that. And that's okay. But we get more concerned about me and my Christian walk than about the one we gave our heart to. We shouldn't have ever given our heart to Jesus because it benefits us. We give our heart to Jesus because we realize He did such a great thing for us and we want to serve Him. That's what the kingdom's all about. No longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. I put away the old flesh. Behold, all things become new. If we get stuck in thinking about it's all about me, and my walk with Christ, and not what Christ can do for him, but what can Christ do for me, that's when we have a shipwreck in our faith. That's when situations and troubles and things happen, when things in life happen, that's why we get so like, well, God, where are you? Well, God, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And that's when we get squeezed in that area We produce everything but Christ. That's how we get so shipwrecked and how we go down a path that we were never supposed to go down. Because our faith is not in Christ. Our identity is not in Christ. Our identity is still in ourselves. So we need transformation. We need Him to help us realize we're not serving Christ for us. We're serving Christ for Him. And the more we realize that, the more we can see God when He squeezes us, when things happen with squeeze, we'll see the flow of Christ come out of us. We'll see grace and mercy. We'll see joy. Paul had it right. Paul said, count all things for joy, suffering included. I mean, he got squeezed, didn't he? Paul got squeezed in chains, beaten, shipwrecked, people trying to kill him, stoned. He had a lot of things that people tried to do against him, but yet still wrote 1/3 of the New Testament. And possibly more. Because when he was squeezed, only God came out of him. Only love came out of him. And when we have an identity in Christ and realize that, hey, you know, it's not about me, it's about him. I'm serving him. And whatever happens, I will serve him regardless of that. Come on, Jack. Because without him, what are we doing anyways? I mean, really? What are we doing anyways? I mean, yeah, life, it can be fun. There's a lot of fun things to do in the world. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of entertainment, a lot of fun things. Sure. But without him, there's no purpose. There's no longevity. There's no plan. There's no destiny. There's no legacy. We have to realize it's not about us. It's about him. So when we get squeezed, we see life come out. We see joy come out, even though it may be tough. We see peace come out, even though the situation might be in turmoil. We see love come out when it can be so easy to dwell in bitterness and unforgiveness. We see Christ come out. And in that moment, the dying world that has nothing to offer us will say, that person's different. There is something about that person that is different from the rest of us, and I have to realize what it is. And then that's when we can give them hope, and we can give them the gospel of the good news. Come on, somebody. Come on. Can we do that, church? Can we do that? One thing the Lord's been just reminding me in this house, he gave me this word a while back, and it was, forgiveness and grace be the culture in this place. Come on, church. Can't we be a church that thrives, that excels in forgiveness, no matter what's happened? Can't we be a church that can extend grace in a situation where we're like, well, there wasn't any grace given by anyone else? Can we do that?
Yes.
That's right. I like it. I like it. Come on. Yeah, I've. Good job. Come on. Be the culture in this place. And where there is forgiveness and grace, there comes freedom and liberty. I want to see God do great things in this house through everyone. And not just inside these four walls. That's great. I love it. I love what he does in church. I love what he does. But I want him to move outside where our areas of influence are and see him do great things there, to pour out his gifts on us, to be able to minister, to be able to touch lives and see the goodness of God, to be able to see the sick healed. Let me tell you again if you don't understand. No worries. Forgiveness, no worries. Oh. Oh, Jesus. It's so funny. We want to see God do great things so we can go up to someone and we can say, be healed in Jesus' name, and they walk out of that wheelchair. Come on. Or we can go give someone a hug and say, I don't know what's going on, but Jesus loves you. And instead of them taking their life, they'll be set free forever. Yes. Come on. We live in a world where everything has been amped up and everyone is so overwhelmed emotionally, physically, mentally. Everyone is so worked up that could we have the peace and the grace of God to distill all those voices, distill all that pressure, all that anxiety, and give peace of mind. That's what he wants to do. Are we willing to do it? It's hard sometimes. But once we realize and once we get a grasp on it's not about me, it's about him, that's when we can sustain that. That's when we can walk in the victory God has for us. You can walk and think about yourself in the Christian walk. You can walk with that. But whenever you get squeezed, it will always be about you and not about Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to Kings 17. Let's just look at an exact story of this. 1 Kings, sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Frank. Keep me on track there. Appreciate that. 1 Kings 17:1. I want to talk about Elijah. 1 Kings 17. So I'm just going to give a little summary for time. But we know about Elijah. He prayed for no rain, and no rain came. So then the Lord said, all right, I want you to go out here, and you're going to be fed by ravens. Food's going to be brought to you by ravens. And you're going to drink from the Jordan. Excuse me. How many of y'all want to be fed by ravens? Anybody? They're pretty cool, I think. You know, it'd be interesting, I think. I mean, they brought them meat and bread. I was like, well, how did they bring, you know? I mean, it's like, is it kind of like cooked or is it like raw? Or I wasn't sure. You know, I mean, that's me thinking out loud. It's like, did he bring like manna or did they bring something? You know, I don't know what ravens bring. I have no idea. I would love to ask that question when I get up to heaven. Elijah, what did you eat down there when the ravens fed you? So it just says meat. I don't know. I don't know what kind of meat it was. So they fed him. So then the brook dried up. And then God says, I'm sending you to this place to talk to a widow and provide for you there. Now, being the man of God that he is, he didn't argue. But wouldn't it be like us to say, well, God, you tell me to pray for no rain. There's no rain. Now you want to take me to some widow in some place I don't even know about? Wouldn't that be our reaction? Just saying. The man of God, the woman of God. Wouldn't that be? God, why do you have to do this? I mean, you provided supernaturally and things like that. Why do I have to go there? I don't even like there. I don't even know where there is, hardly. I don't know anybody there. I don't have any cousins or family or anybody. Fine, I'll just go. Did he cop an attitude or something? No. He just went. And then the woman was there collecting sticks. And he asked the woman, hey, can you give me a morsel of bread? Can you bake me a little cake? And she said, well, I'm just going to bake something, and then me and my son are going to die. I can think of what we would say in that position. You know, oh, great, now you send me the lady, and she's just going to bake one more cake, and then we're going to all die. Oh, great, Father, way to go. You know, good job, God. You missed it on this one. You know, that's wouldn't we think that way? Wouldn't we respond that way? Sometimes some of you are like, no, I never respond that way. Okay, all right. All right, good for you. Don't lie. And so he says, if you bring me this, it'll never run, your meal will never run dry, nor your oil. And so she brought it to him, never was able to keep doing this all through the famine, all the time during that. Now, Some of us are like, wow, that's a great story, Van. I love it. You know, God provides, good stuff. But then if we read a little bit further along, the widow's son dies. And then we see the pressure is applied to this woman, and the pressure is applied to Elijah. And it says, so sometime later, the son of a woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said, Elijah, what did you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? She says. After everything that he has done, that God has done, after all the meals that she was going to die anyways, her son then stops breathing. And when you're not breathing, you're pretty much dead. Stops breathing, and then she is like, why did you come here? Just to kill me, to remind me of my sin? That's pressure right there. That's pressure. When something close or someone you love happens to someone, and that's to you, that's pressure. Now, it doesn't show that the Lord killed the son. No, it doesn't have anything like that. But that's pressure. What came out of her was not what Elijah had been depositing, what God had been doing. But we see how Elijah responds. How many of you would know that if you were in Elijah's position, and then all of a sudden this widow's son dies, are you like, oh, well, that wasn't me. I don't know what's going on. I'm leaving. I'll see you later. I don't know about this. Maybe God didn't lead me here after all. You know, we'd start questioning things. We would start going into, well, well, maybe it was your fault because you did sin and it was bad, you know? Or do we blame the other person for that happening? But Elijah didn't do any of that. What he did was, he said, give me your son. And the boy was healed. And then I love how the woman after that, after he was healed, he said, he gave him to his mother, on verse 23, he gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that your word of the Lord from your mouth is truth. Are you going to be like a widow? Are you going to be like the widow today? Or are you going to be like Elijah? Are you going to believe in what the Lord has said and believe in what's going to happen? Or are you going to doubt God because of the situation and the circumstances? Goes right along with what was said today already. Are you going to do that? I want to encourage you to go after who God is. Encourage you that even though you might be going through a stressful time, a pressure time, a situation that is not fun at all, that is just tearing you apart almost, I want to encourage you, it's about Him. And help us to respond like Christ. Help us to respond when things have gone against us and when people are shouting at us and pointing at us and cursing at us and saying things and wanting to do harm to us. That we give grace, that we give forgiveness, and that we actually intimidate Christ, and I would say be like Christ. Imitate, thank you. That we'd be like Christ today. And the way we do that is to understand our identity in Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. And how we walk is according to Him. Amen. Because if we don't have the mindset of it's about Him, any little thing that comes into our life, any person, any situation that happens, good or bad, can shipwreck us from our faith. Then we stop believing in God is good. Then we stop believing that He is holy. Then we stop believing that He can do anything He wants to do. We stop believing in provision. We think, oh, He just wants to punish me now. We just think, oh, well, He's forgotten about me. Oh, well, I did this, so this is what I'm reaping. We get so many ungodly beliefs because our identity was not written in Him. Because we just decided to do our own thing. We decided to say, hey, you know what? I'll be a Christian because it's for me. I want to go to heaven. I want to do that. It's about Him. And sometimes we need a shift in our lives to realize that. And today is that day. So let's all just close our eyes right now. I want to give us a moment to respond in our hearts. It's not an easy word today. It's a very challenging word because it can change your whole perspective of thinking. It can change the whole thing that you thought about Christianity in the beginning, why you came saved in the first place. Was it more for you? Or was it for Him to repay a debt that could never be repaid, to live for Him because He loves us and to love other people? Father, right now, as we're just in Your presence, we thank You for all the great things that You've done in us, through us, and to us, Father. But Father, we ask for forgiveness for thinking this Christian walk is all about us and not about You. Lord, we know that You want to heal, You want to restore, You want to do great things in us, O Father, and to us, O God. But we've made it all about us instead of making it about You. And when we're squeezed, it just produces things that are not from You. So Father, we just repent right now. We ask for Your forgiveness for our ungodly beliefs, for the way we've treated others in the past, for the way we've treated ourselves. And Father, right now, we say it's all about You. Let our lives be a living testament of You, Father. No matter what happens in my situation, no matter what I think or what I hope, but I trust in You, Father, no matter the outcome, because You are good and You are God. Regardless if it lines up with the way I think, I will serve You no matter what. No matter what the costs. And Lord, I thank You that we can have a great time doing that. That it's not all doom and gloom, but it's a great time, a fulfillment that You give us when we are actually living in Your righteousness. That we can have the joy that we would never have if we were to live for ourselves. We can have a peace that we never were to have if we were living. We can have a freedom that we could never have if we were leaving Christianity for us. Father, we thank You right now that You're doing things greatly in us and that we're changing our perspective. And we repent of that perspective about us. And Father, we turn it towards You and living the way You would have us live. and enjoying what you would have us to enjoy. Because there is nothing greater than ministering and doing things for your kingdom and being used by you. Nothing comes close. We thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name. Pastor Steve.